You're listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in City Mines. My name is Reverend Nick Phillips, and today we are looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, on this Thanksgiving, we give thanks that all gifts come from you. Lord, may you speak to our hearts today as we gather around your word. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but it's kind of hard to believe we're already in October. The trees, they've started to change in just the last few days, it seems. There's definitely a coolness to the air now over these last couple of weeks. It's almost like you can kind of taste fall in the air now, isn't it? One sure way to know that it's October is that pumpkin spice is everywhere. What seemed to start with coffee a few years ago seems to have gotten into everything. You can get pumpkin spice cookies and breakfast cereals and ice cream. And even like Dairy Queen blizzards now have pumpkin in them. Is nothing sacred? You wonder. Now, personally, summer's my favorite. That's when we love to be outdoors and nature and enjoy the warmth and the water and all that's good there. But fall is also pretty special as well. It's nothing like getting in the car and driving around the Cabot Trail to see the colors and getting out for a few hikes along the way. It is a great time of year. It's a beautiful time of year as well, especially here in Cape Breton when Celtic Colors is going on. Just a lot to celebrate. So fall, it's definitely in one of my top four. Add in those special times with family, maybe especially this weekend when you're sitting down at the dinner table with a big juicy turkey and you're just ready to dig into it with all the trimmings. We love a good turkey in our house, but sometimes we have to say sometimes it's more about the side dishes. You know, who doesn't love a big scoop of stuffing this time of year? I personally can do without the cranberry sauce, but I know some of you enjoy it. There's just something about October and something about Thanksgiving that puts us in a kind of mood. There's just something we long for this time of year, it seems, as the seasons change. There's a certain amount of peace we feel maybe when we sit around the table. Well, hopefully it's peace when you sit around the table with your family. I know it's not for everybody. But a certain time of peacefulness when we get together with family and friends for maybe a big meal. It's like you just can't help but feel thankful. And so as we think about thankfulness and receiving blessings and all that, we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It is called the section we read, the story of the cheerful giver. It's called this because Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and in chapter 9 he's encouraged them to consider how they are supporting one another as well as the wider church. And we pick up, the reading starts off, the point of this is, and so I feel like we need to step back and say the point of what. And so if we look back to the start of chapter 9 in 2 Corinthians, we learn a little bit more about what the text is about. We don't feel like we've walked into the room in the middle of a conversation. So Paul begins 2 Corinthians 9 acknowledging that the people of Corinth, they are a faithful people. He says he's been going to other places and he's been telling people, other churches, about the church in Corinth, and it's really inspiring the other churches. And it's given them hope. And isn't that nice to hear, isn't it? I mean, I love hearing stories from other churches that are doing great things and how God is inspiring them and helping them to do those great things. But it's also nice to hear when I go to like a gathering somewhere and people say to me, I hear good things are happening at Carmen. And it's great to hear that encouragement that we are doing good things here and God's doing great things here. So it's great to see both the inspiration of God doing great things for other churches, but also to get encouragement about what God, people see God doing in our churches. So when we look at Corinth, we see that Titus has been there about a year before. Oh, she's fine, Grace. Titus was there about a year before, and he started to make a collection from the people of Corinth to support the wider church. And so Paul is sending this letter to Corinth with Titus to say, get ready, because we're going to finish the collection. So, and Paul says, I'm on my way. I'm bringing some friends from Macedonia, some people from other churches, just to come and meet you and see what you're doing there. But you need to be ready, because I'm going to take an offering, because you said you were going to be generous to the church. And I don't want to come there and make it look like I'm forcing you to give money. So be ready, he says. It makes me think of a comic you see once in a while where the ushers are looking at the collection plate and say, I guess we better pass it around again. You know, Paul doesn't want to be seen as passing the collection plate around again, because it looks like he's forcing them to give more money. He just wants them to be generous and be ready where they are in that moment. Paul goes, and so now we're getting to our reading from today, and Paul is reminding the people of Corinth that if we withhold from God, God may choose to withhold from us. He says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And when I look at this passage and I hear it be called the cheerful giver, I wonder if we shouldn't maybe consider it to be the cheerful receiver. So when we're into October now, and we've got the church is beautifully decorated, reminding us of the harvest, and we see all kinds of fresh vegetables and fruits on our tables this time of year, and we just love to get them. And we know that this stuff just appear on our table out of nowhere, that someone worked hard to provide for us our fresh produce. You know, the farmers, they prepare their field in the spring, they sow their seeds, they look after all of the plants and produce through the summer, even on those hot days we had. They are there making sure everything is good. They're keeping away the critters that like to eat the stuff, and if they see disease, they try to treat the plants before it gets out of control. And then after many, many months of loving care of their gardens, of their fields, they harvest the produce. And then it makes its way to our tables. And I think if you're like me, you're happy to have this fresh produce on your table, right? There's nothing like fresh from the fields food. And I'm sure the farmers are just as happy, if not more, to be able to provide for us this wonderful food. Happy to receive from the ones who are happy to provide the food for us. And I'm sure they're also happy to have us pay for this food we buy so that they can live through those quieter winter months. The farmers, they're happy to do the work on our behalf, so that they can provide a meal for us. And we're happy to receive the fruits of their labor. And so we pay for we pay out of our enjoyment and our full bellies for that which they have provided. And of course, the more we receive of their food, the more we pay. Now, in the last few weeks here at Carmen, we've been talking about generosity and the impact of what impacts our generosity. And we heard a couple of times where Jesus said, but if God so clothed the grass, which is here today and thrown in the oven tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? That's from chapter 11. If you look at Luke, that was Luke chapter 12. If you look at Luke chapter 11, Jesus says, what father among you, if a son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God desires nothing more than to bless us and provide for us. What we need to do then is to put our trust in him, and he will do it. God doesn't give us evil things. He doesn't mistreat us. God loves us and wants the very best for us as we come to know Jesus and become his children, become children of God. And when we realize what it is that God does for us, when we understand this incredible love he has for us, we then see how God has blessed us again and again. And in recognition of this wonderful gift of blessing, we can't help but want to give back to God. So, in fact, we are cheerful receivers of the blessings of God, and it moves us to be a joyful giver in response. Back in April, we had our Set Free retreat here at Carmen, and we charged $50 a person for the weekend. It was a pretty good deal because you got three wonderful meals provided by the Legion. The women there do a wonderful job. And also you received a bunch of print material, booklets and that you could use for your own personal growth. Towards the end of the retreat, someone stood up in the church and said, "We've received a lot here this weekend. It costs a lot of money to put this on. How can I give more?" he said. Well, if you look at the budget we had prepared for the weekend, $50 per person covered it all. It covered all the stuff we had printed at the printers, it covered the food, and we broke even on the weekend, which was our goal. We just wanted to make sure our expenses were covered. So $50 a person covered everything we offered. So what this man was saying, I think, whether he knew it or not, was he was acknowledging that God had stepped up and done a lot more than what we as a church could provide or what I as a pastor could provide. God showed he had a lot more in store for us that weekend. People left our retreat, our Set Free retreat. Some of them felt lighter. They felt like new people. Some people had been set free from sin in their lives. They felt like they had new lives to live. So this man, he felt this. He knew this in his own heart. And he felt he wanted to give more in response to what he had received as part of the retreat. In his heart, this man felt he needed to acknowledge that God had done something powerful for him. He was so happy he came and he experienced God and he had been set free from some things in his life in a powerful way. And so his natural response was, "I need to give more." This is part of what Paul's getting to today. If we have experienced a powerful movement of God in our lives, if we feel blessed by our Father in heaven, we want to give back. It's just a natural thing. This is kind of how God works. God blesses us. He helps us to realize we have more than we need and how what we give cannot come close to what he has given us, yet we still want to give. It's kind of funny when you think about it. And over the last few weeks, we've talked about how the world around us has trained us and influenced us into storing up treasures for ourselves and wealth. And so we follow that instruction. We work hard, and we try to make as much money as we can so that we can go out and buy stuff and more stuff. But then God steps in and says, "Here's something you didn't know you needed." And then our hearts change, our motivations change. We no longer want to store up for ourselves anymore. We want to give back to God in response to what he has blessed us with. Kind of a funny fellow, that God. It's like he must have planned it that way, so that when our hearts receive the abundant blessing of his love, we just want to share it. We want to respond to it. And isn't that what Jesus asks us to do? Didn't Jesus say, "Love one another"? And the way that we love one another is to take care of one another. Towards the end of our reading, Paul says this: "For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. By their approval of the service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ. in the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others.